Shkoyach everyone for coming. I'm not the biggest name around here, so you're not coming for me, you're coming for the topic. And I think the topic is very kedai. I'll tell you the truth. The truth is that the reason why I'm giving this shiur is because for myself, last year, come Tisha B'Av time, a shiur on Tisha B'Av, on Tisha B'Av, meaning when the shiur is on Tisha B'Av itself, it's already too late. If you're not already ready for Tisha B'Av, by the time Tisha B'Av comes around, then the shiur on Tisha B'Av itself is not really going to do much for you. The truth of the matter is even Shabbos B'Tammuz is a little bit late for a shiur like this. Because what we're going to see is going to come out of the shiur is that for a person to really be prepared to face Tisha B'Av, he needs to work on these inyanim really the whole year round. It's not something that you can turn on and off when it comes to 3 weeks. It has to be something that's ingrained in a person, in who the person is as a Jew, in order to really feel the pain of the Chorban. So the first thing I would like to say is that the Etzem, I'm speaking to myself, so I will probably be speaking in the first person, meaning about myself, and anybody who wants to take from it, Adarabba. I hope it's a toelis for people. I know it was a toelis for me. I just wanted to start with the words of the Ramchal in the beginning of Mesillas Yesharim, when he says in Hakdama that the toelis of my words are not to teach chidushim here. They are rather to remind one what one already knows. The ideas that we need to know to put us in the right frame of mind for doing what we need to do are really already in us. And if we bring them out, so then we can really be matzliach, not only in this area, but in a lot of areas. So I wanted to start with a mashal. I was very happy to hear that it wasn't this mashal. I came up with this mashal by myself, but afterwards a chaver told me a mashal by the Dubna Magid, and it came out to be a very similar mashal. But I'm only going to use the mashal that I came up with. Imagine that you're at a funeral, and it's a very sad funeral. Car accident, Rahman al-Islam, and both parents, two young people, were killed instantly in this car crash, and they left over one child, a baby. Left over a baby, Rahman al-Islam. The only child left over. You come into the funeral, and there are other relatives there also after the shiva, the brothers and sisters, and one of them is holding this baby. The baby is sitting there in the front crying, and you cry. Cry. Says here you see two parents, Rahman al-Islam, they leave their child. The child's gonna have no parents growing up. And the baby starts to cry, and you look at the baby and you start to cry too. But why are you crying, and why is the baby crying? The baby's crying because he's hungry, because he's wet, he wants to get changed, because he wants somebody to hold him. That's why the baby's crying. And why are you crying? You're crying because you know this baby's going to grow up not going to have a parent, not going to have any parents. The baby doesn't know any difference. The baby doesn't know anything right now. So we look at this baby, Yachmanos, what's going to be with this baby? What's going to be? Besides the tragedy of what happened. But what's going to be with this baby? He's only going to know that he's not normal because he's going to have friends and they have parents. But let's say he grows up in an orphanage and nobody has parents. None of them have parents. So they're going to know there's such a thing as parents because on the outside they know in the school they go to maybe that their kids have parents. So they're going to know we're not growing up normally. But what happens if the whole generation doesn't have parents? And the generation after that doesn't have parents. And generation after generation of orphans grow up and none of them have parents. You multiply that sadness that you feel 1,000 times, but these children, they're growing up around all the same thing and nobody has parents. Does that make the tragedy any less? You look at the poor kid, he's going to grow up, he's not going to be normal, this kid. Or any of these children, not going to be normal. You grow up without having loving parents taking care of you. That's the way you grow up. That's where we are. That's the matzah that we are all in. We are all orphans. We don't have our parents. We have no idea even what it means to have parents. The galus has been so long. The Gilui Shechina that we had, that you saw your father there taking care of you, every single thing that you did, he watched over you, looked after you. The Hesed Panim that we have today is the equivalent of being an orphan. That's what it is. So you look at this poor child at this funeral, it's the same thing as any of us are. That's what we are. We're all orphans. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still here. But the way he set up the world the last 2,000 years is that it's as if we're orphans. Hashem doesn't give us the same Gilui Shechina. Hashem doesn't show us that he's with us in a real metzitzik way. He doesn't show us. It's like we're growing up without the warmth of a parent. Lamaise, does the child cry? Child doesn't even know that what it means to have parents. None of his friends have parents. None of the previous generation had parents. None of the next generation had parents. So what's the difference? How can you expect even this child to cry? He doesn't know. What is he crying about? What's the cry about? I never had it. So what did I lose? If I had something and I lost it, so then okay, then I would cry. But I never had anything. So, and when we're all coming towards Tisha B'Av, I can't tell you I'm one of these guys who doesn't believe Tisha B'Av is going to come the next year around. But I'm also not one of these guys who knows what to do on Tisha B'Av. Because come Tisha B'Av and you're sitting there on the floor and you're reading Kinas, which maybe if you have a translation, maybe you understand some of them, a little bit what's going on in the kinus. And basically your back aches and you're waiting till chatzos so you can sit on a chair. That's what Tisha B'Av is about, because we don't know any better. Because we don't know anything. What are we supposed to feel? So Lamaisa, the first thing we have to do is we have to learn how to cry and what to cry about. We have to learn what we're missing, what we could have, where we could be, and why we don't have it, and how we could get it. Those are the yisoides of Tisha B'Av and how to appreciate Tisha B'Av. And the only way to get to Tisha B'Av is by feeling that loss to some degree every day of the year. Chazal set up halachos that apply year round because of the Churban HaBayis. There are countless mitzvahs that are zecher l'bayis. Gemara in Sukkah quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. The end of the pasuk says, "Sion he doyrish ein lo." Miklal the boy drisha. Pasuk says that Sion doesn't have a doyrish, doesn't have anybody looking after it. Nobody's interested in it. Miklal the boy drisha. Must be that Sion needs drisha. Means Sion needs somebody looking after it. That's what Sion needs. Yerushalayim, Beit HaMikdash, the Golas in general, it needs a darish. We need a darshan. The only way to get these things into our heart is to think about them. It's to think about them over and over and over again. You don't think about it, so then it passes by and life goes on. The only way to really make it part of one's life is by being darish it, by thinking about it. And really that takes day in, day out, every day. Chazal set up to say, Al Naros Bavil, Achman al-Slan, I heard a terrible story. I probably told this story to a few people. It's a little bit humorous, but it's more sad than anything else. Somebody asked Rav Nevensal one time, said, when did it become the minhag to not say Al Naros Bavil before benching? And Rav Nevensal said back, it's the minhag not to say Al Naros Bavil before benching? What are you talking about? Of course you say Al Naros Bavil before benching. It's become, this is just, you know, it's a nice parak of Tehillim. It's not really so nice, it's a kind of sad parak of Tehillim. Our whole life has become centered around anything but, and everything but. So that is the first nekuda. The first and probably biggest idea that it comes to building one's relationship with Golus, with understanding what the Churban HaBayit means, to feeling what the Churban HaBayit means, is to really understanding what Churban HaBayit means. It means thinking about it. It means learning up the Mamre Chazal, going over it again and again and again, and it makes it part of you. Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph, Amad Aleph, famous Gemara, says that when a person Lassid Lobo has to come din in front of the creator, he's asked six questions. They ask him, were you kveit in the Torah? Did you do business properly? Were you oisek in peri viribia? Which, interestingly enough, the Marshal learns is, did you help Yisayimim get married? One of the questions is, were you mitzapel Yeshua? What does that mean, were you mitzapel Yeshua? This is one of the six questions they ask you in the entrance exam into Olam Haba. You want to get into Olam Haba, you got to answer these six questions. And hopefully you're going to answer them the right way. Were you mitzapel Yeshua? What's so important about being mitzapel Yeshua? What does it mean to be mitzapel Yeshua? Well, we want the Geula. We want the Geula. Do we even know what the Geula is? Do we know what the Geula means? Do we know what we want? Very amazing story that the Chavetz Chaim brings down about the Beit HaLevi. Famous story. The Beit HaLevi was the Rav in Brisk. But before he was the Rav in Brisk, he didn't want to be the Rav in Brisk. He refused to be the Rav in Brisk. How did he become the Rav in Brisk? He heard that all the residents of Brisk wanted him to become the Rav. Everybody wanted him to become the Rav. 25, 30,000 people demanded that the Beit HaLevi be the Rav of Brisk. So the Beit HaLevi said, if the whole city wants me to be the Rav, I have no choice. I have to be the Rav. Zog the Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim says that if Klal Yisrael turns to Ribbono Shel Olam and says, we want the Geula, and they really mean it, Kadosh Baruch Hu has to send the Geula. There's no choice. Just as much as the Beit HaLevi didn't have a choice to become the Rav of Brisk, Chavetz Chaim says Ribbono Shel Olam has no choice. He would have to send the Geula if Klal Yisrael came together and said, we want the Geula. No choice. Why is that true? So the Sefer Charedim brings down that the source of Golus, the source of Golus comes from the Meraglim. The Meraglim were not Mitzapim. They didn't want the land. Whatever their Cheshbonis were, that they didn't want the land. They didn't want it. They wanted to stay out. So they made up a whole ploy in order to stay out. The Sefer Charedim says, if that's the way that Golus is created, then that's the way that Gula has to be created. You have to want it. It has to be the exact opposite of what Golus is. Golus is, I don't want it, so Gula means I do want it. I have to want the Gula. It's a scary, the Kuzari has a mamish, a very, very scary, very chilling back and forth when he's talking with the king and the Khazar. And the very Pasha Akasha. About half, maybe a little bit less than half the brachos in Shemona Esrei, in the weekday Shemona Esrei, are about bringing the Gula. Half the brachos that we say in Shemona Esrei, the Sechazen Einaini B'Shub Chol Tzion Barachamim, Ubnei Yerushalayim, those are the obvious ones. At Tzemach David, but in every bracha kamat, there's some reference to Lotzid Lovo, to the Herav Yameinu, to bring the Geula. So if you do the math, every Jew, 3 times a day, 6 days a week, 354 days and 384 on a leap year, a year, or take out the Yom Tovim, okay, somewhere in the 300 range, multiply that by every Jew for the last 2,000 years. You're going to get an astronomical number somewhere in the realm of like 100 zeros behind a 1, a number which we can't describe in terms of words. That's how many brachos have been said, prayers have been said to bring the Geula. That's how many brachos that we've made over the last 2,000 years asking Hashem to bring the Geula. You know, they say about Moshe Rabbeinu, he made 515 tefillos, 516. We're talking about numbers that are way, way beyond that. And we haven't gotten the Geula. What's pshat? Kuzari says something mamish scary. He says the reason why we haven't been answered is because we don't mean it. Because we don't pay attention when we daven. Because when we say those words, it comes out empty. The only way we're going to get the Geula to come is if we want it, then saying empty tefillahs are not going to do anything for us. Maybe the reason why we say empty tefillahs is because we don't really know what we're saying anyway. We don't know what it means, Bnei Yerushalayim. So how can you have a meaningful tefillah if you don't even know what Bnei Yerushalayim means? Chofetz Chaim brings down an interesting din, Halach Lamaise, brought down in Gemara and Bamatzia, that a poyel, a worker, you don't have a chiyuv to pay the worker until he's toveya you. If you're toveya the worker, if the worker's toveya, then the baal habos has a chiyuv to pay. If the worker is not toveya his money, he's no chiyuv to pay. The baal habos doesn't have a chiyuv to pay. Not over on a lav. If he doesn't pay, and he doesn't have the chiyuv to pay, the poel must ask for payment. So the Chofetz Chaim says it's the same thing with us. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't have to bring the Geula unless we ask. Unless we really ask. And the Maharal in Sefer Netzach Yisroel explains that the whole idea of Avelus is that when a person feels empty, a person feels that he's lacking something, he's lost something, that's when he can be an Avelus, and that's when he can get a Nechama. I feel like I've lost something. So somebody can be Menachem you. But if you don't feel like you've lost anything, so what Nechama are you going to get? There's no Nechama. There's nothing you can get because there's nothing lost. So Lamaise, Lamaisa, we see that there's a tremendous need here that in order to really be mitzapel Yeshua, in order to really know what it means to want to end the Golus, we also need to know what we're looking for, what we want. And again, to think about it. And when we daven Shemona Esrei, or when we say Al Naras Bavel before benching, or when we do any number of the things that Chazal set up as a remembrance, or as a way of being mitzavel throughout the year and during Bein HaMitzarim, to remember Yerushalayim, we have to realize first how significant these things are. I have some examples over here. Some of the differences between what life is like today and what life was like and what life will be like in Heri V'Yameinu. I'll go through a few of them. It's an upside down world we live in. We live in a world that shouldn't have ever existed. The Marshall. I think a lot of people in the last week have been dealing with issues of security. Issues of feeling safe in their own neighborhoods, in their own homes. Throughout the world, people have been thinking that way. And this is not anything new, be'etzim. It's only new to our door because of certain matzias that have occurred in the last 30 years that we started feeling again secure. But throughout the last 2,000 years, Klal Yisrael has been living from expulsion to expulsion, from pogrom to pogrom, not knowing when their next door neighbor is going to turn on them. That was life for a Yid for the last 2,000 years. So we need to put alarms on our houses. We need to get guards everywhere. We need to do things. We need to protect our security. So what was life like back during the Zaman Beis HaMikdash? I'll tell you one thing. There was something called Aliyah L'Regel. Aliyah L'Regel was when Klal Yisrael, every member of Klal Yisrael, especially on Sukkot and during times of Hakel, when men, women, and children, every human member of Klal Yisrael would be in Yerushalayim, and there was nobody, well, except for the people that the Mishnah and Chagiga says don't have to come, but the few, and not exactly able to protect the borders, let's put it that way. There was nobody. There was nobody protecting the borders for an entire holiday. Nobody. Klal Yisrael had a lot of enemies back then too. And nothing happened. Not one time. Not three times in one year. Klal Yisrael, from the time they came into Eretz Yisrael to the end of Zman Bayis Rishon, was over 750 years. That means for about 750 years, three times a year, there would be nobody guarding Klal Yisrael. Nobody. And nothing ever happened. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam protected. Then there are mice, and the Midrashim bring down mice, and exactly what happened during these years. During Zman Bayis Sheni, it happened too. When the Goyim lived amongst Klal Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, still it went on Aliyah L'Regel, and the Midrashim bring down Meisim. It's a different life. It's a different world. It's even hard to contemplate that such a thing could exist. Just walk away. Doors locked up, have to be locked or not. You don't have to alarm because nobody manning the alarm system anyway. And whatever happens, happens. And their boy Nishalim takes care. It's a different world. It's a world where my father is here watching over me. Where my father is here protecting me. The truth of the matter is that there are a lot of examples of this. I just want to bring one more. And really, this is even a lot harder one to understand, and that's in the Inyan of Tefillah. since the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, it says all the Shari Tefillah were closed. And for a Yid to have his Tefillah's answered takes tremendous, tremendous effort. Gemara talks about certain cases where the Sharim are open, if your person cries. But generally speaking, the Sharim have been closed. We don't even know what it means to live in a world where the Shari Tefillah are open. We have no idea what that means. To basically say something to Rabbeinu Shalom, ask something, and know that you're being answered. Feeling that you're being answered, either by a positive response or a negative response, but knowing that I'm being answered. We have no, the Hester Panim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up in this world that we live today because of the Golus doesn't even allow us to know, did anything happen with my Tefillah? It's such a hard thing to understand because Lamaisa, in the last 2,000 years we've never had, it's never been open, the Shaar Tefillah. An isolated incident here and there where Chazal tell us that you can break through the gates. We only have a few minutes left. Really, there's a lot more to talk about. But Etzim, if there's an interest, I felt the need to do this because Lamaisa, over the last year, I've been working on these in Yonim, and I felt that it's kedai to share with the Olam. If there's an interest in having another chabura or shir or whatever to be mamshich in these inyanim, I'd be happy to give. So lamaisa, I'm gonna just skip now to just some of the things that we can do lamaisa to help build ourselves up. And the first one, like I said, the main one is something that takes a little bit of time and effort, a little bit every day. And that little bit is thinking about it. Thinking about, there's a great kuntras here, they're selling outside this one. I get no money for it. It costs 5 shekels. It costs 5 shekels, and it basically is Mamari Chazal. You do a paragraph a day, which is basically what I did. You can finish it a number of times over the course of the year. It literally takes 2 minutes. If you want to spend a little bit more time thinking about it, maybe 5 minutes a day. And it's a tremendous investment. It's an investment to be a Yid. It's an investment to look out into the world and see what's going on over here. How come we can't be normal? We have to recognize that we're not normal first. We have to recognize we're that orphan. We're all that orphan. Every one of us. Lamaisa, what can we do over the next 3 weeks? Well, besides for that, we can try to focus on one aspect of tefillah. To go to the nth degree and to go through every single bracha every day, nobody's going to be able to handle. But to go through one bracha, pick one bracha, one part of one bracha, in Shmona Esrei, once a day, to focus on, that I really, even if you don't feel it, even if you don't feel like, you know, Ubnei Yerushalayim or Sefer Zena, I don't feel it, but at least when you dive into Rabbani Shalom, you say to Rabbani Shalom, you know what, I'm going to be honest, I don't feel it. But Rabbani Shalom, I want to feel it. Something I want, at least. I want to try to feel it. I want it to be something significant by me. Even if I can't say that I'm going to cry over Yerushalayim when it comes to Tisha B'Av, but I want to. So one bracha when you're saying B'nai Yerushalayim, whatever bracha you want, once a day, consistently. B'nai Yerushalayim, I want the connection to help me. I think that there's one other very big nekuda. The question seems to be so big. The question is if I'm an orphan and I never saw my parents and I never knew my parents, so Lamaisa, how can I cry about something that I know nothing about? How can I cry over something that I never had any shaychus to? Well, I think that question has been answered in this past week. Because I can't imagine that there's anybody who heard about the stories that happened in this last week and didn't in some way feel pain. Feel some pain for this poor child and his parents and for Klal Yisrael. I never knew this boy. I didn't know anything about him. So why do we all feel the pain? Some of us might feel the pain because he's a Yid. How could such a thing happen to a Yid? Some of us might feel the pain because Rachmanel's son, his parents, you know, the Eibishter has pain too. Brought down that if we would even have an inkling of what the pain the Ribbono Shel Olam has because of the Golus, we would never have simchas in our entire life. We would never have any simcha in our heart, ever. Brought from the Magid who taught Rabbi Yosef Cairo. If you knew the way, an inkling of the pain that the Ribbono Shel Olam has over the Golus, over the fact that his children are in Golus, and all the terrible things that happen to them in Golus, you would never have simcha in your heart, ever, if you had an inkling of that pain. We do have the ability to have pain over things we don't know, over things that we never knew about. We didn't know, never knew the person, we never knew the family, we never lived in that neighborhood. But we do have the ability to feel the pain. We just have to connect to it. We have to connect to it on our own level. Where we are, we have to connect to it. Medrash Rabbo, with this I'll end. Medrash Rabbo, Gracious Rabbo, Yud Gimel Beis, says, Kol tefilosin shel Yisrael, eina ela al beis hamikdash, masa yibone beis kotcho, mikotcho. All the tefilas that any Klal Yisrael has, the etim, go towards the beis hamikdash, go towards the building of the beis hamikdash. Meaning, when a person asks for parnasa, he asks for health, he asks for shidduchim for himself or for his children. All of those tefillahs, the etzim, are tefillahs that the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt. Why? Because all the tzaras that we have in this world, all the tzaras that we have in this world are because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So be'etzim, and this I think is a gevaldike etzah, be'etzim, if on Tisha B'Av, you're sitting there and we're wondering, how can I mourn over the Beis HaMikdash? If a person thinks about his own life, and he thinks about the tzaras in his life, and he thinks about the worst moments in his own life, and the sadness of those worst moments in his life, and he starts crying about that, he starts crying about those things, he can connect to the Beis HaMikdash. If he thinks, you know, all of these tzaras that I've had, it's all because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. All the difficulties that I've had, all the people who caused me pain, all the pain that I've caused myself, and on and on and on. If a person thinks about those things, not about the Churban per se, but he realizes that those things that are happening to me are all happening to me because of the Golos, because we're in Golos, and because of that is the way that person can connect. Maybe it's a bissel chiddush, say such a thing. This is what the Midrash Rabbah says. All of our tefillahs, everything that we ask for from the Ribbono Shel Olam, everything that we ask for is the etzim for the Beis HaMikdash. Because all the tzaras that we have are only because we're in Golos. So I think there are a few nekudos, there are many, many more. Lamaisa, if we can take some of these nekudos and try to focus a little bit on them over the course of the next 3 weeks and over the course of the next year, I think we'll see that this Tisha B'Av will be a little bit of a different Tisha B'Av, and I hope there won't be a next Tisha B'Av, but if there is, it'll be a different Tisha B'Av. It'll be a Tisha B'Av where you look at it and you understand that this is not normal,
the situation that I'm in is not the way the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted the world to be. He wanted the world to be a world of Gilu Shechina. So the Maisa, Mitzvah Hashem, if we take these things and we focus on them, Mitzvah Hashem, like the Maisa with the Beis HaLevi, if we really ask the Rebbeinu Shalom, if we really Rebbeinu Shalom, I see where I am and I see where I could be, please send the Geula. Person really thinks about that, then Ein Chanami. There'll be no choice. Eved Shter will have no choice. He'll have to send the Geula.
She's a to see in here, man. I mean.